Hello, I am Ruth Morton, IT Pro Advisor at Microsoft Canada. Welcome to the IT Manager Podcast, a monthly audio information series designed to provide a fresh perspective on the latest IT trends and insight on how you can leverage technology to further drive business value. I invite you to visit microsoft.ca/IT podcast for supplementary resources, case studies, and other podcast episodes. This month, we took our podcast series on the road and attended the official launch of Windows Server 2008, Visual Studio 2008, and SQL Server 2008 in Toronto. We heard from a range of Microsoft executives, customers, and IT managers, and learned more about what the next wave of server innovation will mean to Canadian businesses. I started the morning listening to a fantastic panel discussion, which we recorded and have posted at the podcast landing page at microsoft.ca/IT podcast. After the panel, I was able to sit down with Tina Romeo Salem. Tina is the product manager for Windows Server 2008 at Microsoft Canada. We discussed how Windows Server 2008 helps IT professionals manage, change, and meet the needs of day-to-day tasks. She also provided insight on one of the hottest new features of the 08 release, Hyper-V.
There's a lot of new features in Windows Server, especially around the core, the server core, where administrators can add in the features that they need to use to make sure that they're more efficient and minimize any overhead that may occur. But also, I think there's a lot of other enhancements that enable an IT professional to focus more on strategic value in an organization. So for instance, two things that are near and dear to my heart is the security features that we've added into the Windows Server, as well as virtualization, especially some things like read-only domain controller from a security standpoint, as well as network access protection. Super essential features that help our IT professionals be more strategic from an aspect of governance, as well as, you know, just overall organizational policies and ensuring that those are met. So that puts them up to a different level in the organization, and I think that's what it's all about, is raising the bar. In addition to all of the technology that we provide, I think that we do a lot of other good things around training and helping our IT professionals get up to speed on the products and how to use the products. And then, of course, we also have our partner community that we also leverage. So I think we provide a rich experience for the IT professionals overall. Not just necessarily the product, as much as I love the product. I think this is the whole package in itself and the whole solution. We really are trying to get our IT professionals to the next level.
Now, a really big hot topic has been Hyper-V. And, I mean, that's been a big interest to a lot of people. A lot of people want to see it and talk about it and stuff. So, first of all, what is included with the version that was just released in manufacturing of Windows Server 2008 just recently? What came with it as far as virtualization?
They did get the Hyper-V components with that. Of course, they're not RTM'd, so they are getting some of the beta version of it. But the good news is that is actually a very good, stable, reliable copy, and that they can test and try out, because a lot of our customers are currently doing that right now and seeing a lot of good results.
And why might a company want to take a look at Hyper-V? What are some of the reasons that companies are looking at it?
Well, we like to look at it from different angles. First of all, we believe that virtualization should be a part of the Windows Server or part of the server piece, because essentially we look at Windows Server as being a secure and trusted platform in which a lot of the IT professionals and managers, they understand that environment and they work in that environment. And so we don't want to add another layer of complexity and another system for our IT professionals to learn and get familiar with. So by making it part of the server, it reduces that complexity and enables them to do stuff and automate and manage virtualized and physical worlds a lot easier than if they had to look after multiple different systems and learn different software. So that's one piece of it. The other piece is just an overall total cost of ownership. The good news is that virtualization is built in the server, and so therefore the costs of deploying multiple different virtualized servers and whatnot, it's reduced there, so the total acquisition cost overall is a lot better for the customer.
I also bumped into David McJanet and convinced him to take a few minutes to sit down for a chat. David is the product manager for SQL Server 2008 at Microsoft Canada, and I wanted to pick his brain about a new feature called Links, among other things.
Well, clearly there are hundreds and hundreds of capabilities in SQL 2008, but if I were to pick a couple of them that highlight this commitment to empowering IT pros and developers to do more with less, a couple that jump to mind are, on the actual infrastructure configuration side, we've introduced the ability to manage by policy, so a policy-based management framework that allows you to really simplify the creation of a database. I'll give an example. If I'm a DBA managing a financial database, I can then create a policy with respect to the archiving, the backup, the encryption levels, really essentially the policies I want to enforce for my database. I can then publish that set of policies out internally in my organization such that anybody else that's creating a financial database can just apply those same policies. What it allows you to do is to spend less time configuring databases and more time actually managing them.
Well, that's fantastic, and that will eliminate user error or human error, and yeah.
Absolutely. So you can essentially, you know, it's akin to being able to script the configuration of a database in a very, very robust and kind of simple way.
Is there anything else in SQL Server that will help in this whole mission?
Sure. There are, again, across a number of different capabilities. Another one that I'll highlight, I know a lot of folks out there are building custom reports for their end users. We introduced with SQL 2005 a tool called a Report Builder, which is part of SQL. It's actually an application, a ribbon-based client application, very similar to look and feel of an Excel, that allows you to provision an end user with that tool, create a reporting services cube or an analysis services cube, and then have the end user be able to do ad hoc queries themselves based on that data. It really eliminates the need for you to be bogged down by building reports and iterating on reports at the request of your end users, and rather just create a cube that they can then build out themselves to the extent that they need to. You know, we do very similar things inside Microsoft ourselves. You know, I have a way of looking at different parts of our business. I can literally just refresh those cubes on a daily basis if I need to. And a tool like Report Builder really is the kind of thing that I think many of us in IT wish it existed a long time ago, because it allows us, again, to free ourselves up from reports and more to focus on perhaps building out the cubes, focusing on more strategic aspects of our job. That was part of SQL 2005. And SQL 2008, it's really extended quite significantly. I think you'll find the user interface in particular is one that really lends itself to broad adoption.
There's another feature that I've heard in SQL Server 2008 called Links. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It's support for Link, which is actually a key component of the .NET framework. What it allows you to do is, when you're developing an application, abstract the data gathering aspect of it. Best illustrated with an example, if I was building an application that pulled data from a database, did a bunch of things, and then produced a report or a number. What Link allows you to do is, rather than execute a query that runs against a database, searches a bunch of tables, and returns a bunch of data dynamically, which obviously has a performance impact on your database and is quite complex to code, you can really abstract the level to which you're coding by creating an object that encapsulates all those endpoints that you would be querying. The administration of those objects is an important piece. And what it allows you to do is develop applications much more quickly. They're working within a database than if you were having to write the actual raw code each time yourself. So that holds a huge amount of promise. We've seen a lot of people using that as one of the big drivers for looking at SQL 2008, specifically because it allows them to build applications faster and in so doing better align themselves with the growth drivers of their business partners.
Later on in the day, I had the opportunity to speak with Rini Gihir, the product manager for developer tools at Microsoft Canada. He shed some light on how Visual Studio 2008 helps developers increase their productivity.
Now, we really see the developers as the innovators in companies, you know, coming up with the creative applications to really help their organizations connect with suppliers and partners and customers. And so what we've done with Visual Studio 2008 is really help bring out the creativity in the developer. So give them the tools that will enable them to create engaging applications much quicker and faster and more efficiently, and worry less about syntax and sort of code organization and things like debugging. Right, we try to make those things automatic, so they spend less time worrying about these, you know, the other parts of coding.
I saw this morning in the keynote session, it actually got me excited. I mean, I'm not a developer or anything, with the whole split scene where you have the code and you have the graphic of the website, and you click on something on the website and it takes you to where that code is, and stuff like that. Any other specific features like that to make developers' lives easier?
And that's a perfect example of how that enhancement by itself is just is very compelling and very useful for a developer. In addition to that, you know, things like IntelliSense and JavaScript debugging. We also showed that in the demo, where the bottleneck, where the code problem is, gets highlighted, and it can automatically suggest what that syntax should look like, so the IntelliSense comes in. The automatic debugging, where it runs through your code and it can stop at where that code break is, where that code problem is, and all those sort of intuitive, sort of intelligent features in the product, and a tool set really helps developers' productivity.
That's good. And what about for developer teams? What do we have for collaboration and for sharing of ideas?
Yep. So for developer teams, I mean, you know, we see developer teams really, development has changed from what it was 10 years ago. And so we see, you know, the cost overruns in development decreased by 10 times, which is great, which is good news. But software development projects still are only 30% successful. So it's a big, big problem. And so we're seeing, you know, it's a global world. So we're seeing distributed teams, multiple teams, virtual teams working on software development projects. And so our solution to that is really providing a very sort of robust end-to-end application lifecycle management solution. And our solution for that solution is our Visual Studio Team System. So Visual Studio Team System, along with our Team Foundation Server, is sort of the core application lifecycle management solution for developer teams.
As I mentioned earlier, there was a great panel discussion at the start of the day, hosted by Phil Sorgen, the president of Microsoft Canada. While we've recorded and posted the panel discussion in its entirety on the podcast landing page, here are a couple of interesting snippets. First off, take a listen as Kevin Turner, the COO of Microsoft, talks about just how far we've come with SQL Server.
I'm really, really proud of the progress that SQL Server has made. Certainly in recent quarters, the fact that SQL Server is now outgrowing Linux in the marketplace is something that we take a lot of pride in, because customers vote by what they buy. And, you know, the technology works and it saves people money. And generally when you have those two things, you generally have a pretty good combination, and that is what makes, you know, SQL Server 2008, with the scalability and some of the tools and things that we have with it, it's going to be an incredible opportunity for us. And I'm also proud that, you know, this SQL Server 2008 comes just 3 years, Phil, from the last release, 05. So, you know, getting on that consistent cycle of improvement and driving that improvement into the marketplace is something that, you know, on behalf of the development staff, we're really proud of the progress of bringing that into the marketplace.
Here, Soren Menta, the Windows Server Infrastructure Manager of EI Trading Services at BMO, gives us some insight into the global expansion activities that the company has been embarking on and how Windows Server 2008 is helping them overcome the challenges they're facing.
As an IT manager, my role and mandate is to get an infrastructure that it gives us high performance, reliability, and flexibility. So getting back to how the IT helps enabling the business expansion, in capital markets and investment banking in general, it's a highly competitive line of business where speed and accuracy of financial transaction can result in financial losses or potential gains, as I said in the video
gains.
As well. Hopefully, most of the time.
That's right.
Also, the way the bank is expanding, it's by launching line of businesses either in Asia or by acquiring other bank entities in U.S. For that matter. And the IT challenge is to be able to step up to the plate and deliver infrastructure or application fast and reliable in all these geographies. And now the cycle, it's very much shortened, right? For example, our expansion in Asia, where we had to open 4 offices in China and Hong Kong, that needed to be done in a span of 3 months, and we had to find innovative solution that goes beyond just deploying hardware locally on site and finding technical expertise, which is challenging when we talk about trading platforms that were developed in North America. So we definitely had to kind of step a bit outside of the box and do it differently. Microsoft technology help us to do that, and especially the platform that you guys are launching today, Windows 2008, with some features that I'll talk about. One thing I want to add, it's getting back to the core business of capital markets. A lot of our operations requires intensive computational simulation around risk modeling and algorithmic trading. So we leverage features found in the new platform to deliver the value to the business, in which we brought some of their Monte Carlo simulation tool to run from 57 hours down to 8 hours. Wow. And they were ecstatic. So I would say ecstatic and IT in the same statement you don't hear very often. So
in a positive way.
In a positive way, right. So we will definitely continue to pursue the platforms because they definitely help so far.
Okay. Well, that's you started setting me up for, you gave me a great in on a question that I have to ask, and because you kind of went there, but you didn't go all the way, and that is some of the ways that Windows Server 2008 is helping BMO achieve some of those, or beat some of those challenges you're facing.
Yeah, well, I was hoping this question will come because I can go on and on, but yeah. I'll stick with a few points that links back to what my role as an IT manager is. So on the reliability side, not only that, we still have to keep the lights on, but now we're looking beyond that. We need to have a platform that is fast to deploy, easy to maintain, it's properly integrated with the management tools. And when we look at Windows 2008, yes, we love Windows deployment services in it. We love the integration with the Service Center portfolio. On the performance side, I mentioned the calculations. We're engaging the beta program for the high performance computing that you announced that will be delivered later. Mm-hmm. But we've done work with the CCS. We've achieved the result that I talk about, and we're looking to transition into the HPC. On the flexibility, when I mentioned China, the way we've ended up deploying it is by leveraging a presentation server and the ability to make an application being delivered from the back end in Canada to the front end in China or wherever. Right. So what more can I say?
Yeah,
the platform definitely helped, and it helped achieve all those mandates that we have to deliver, and I'm really happy about what you guys are doing.
And finally, Etienne Tremblay, a senior application architect at EDF Canada, discusses how Visual Studio 2008 has aided the organization in their efforts to streamline their application development process, the very heart of EDS's business.
To set the stage, I'd just like to say that back in 2006, when Team System 2005 released, we decided to roll out Team Foundation Server and Team System as the standard application lifecycle management platform for all of our .NET development across the corporation. What actually really excites me about the 2008 Team System and the whole platform behind it is that it's just going to enhance on that platform that we already have. And some of the things that we will enhance on are, like, for example, on the client side, we have code metrics. So those are things that we can, the number of lines of code that we have, the cyclometric complexity, the maintainability index, and all these things are actually really available quickly by just running a little wizard and we get the answers. The other thing Christian touched on in the keynote was JavaScript IntelliSense and JavaScript debugging. So for our web developers, that's like, oh my God, they've been waiting for that forever. So they're really, really stoked to actually go to that. Another thing that's really interesting is a little-known feature, but still, there's performance tooling in Studio, and one of the new features is actually performance hotpad, where when you run a performance test, it gets a lot of performance data, like tons of data, and it's really hard to sift through and find out what is actually the performance problem. So with the performance hotpad, you can just click a little flame in the icon, and it brings you right to where the performance bottleneck is. So that's a really interesting feature, too. And two things that are critical for us at EDS is the ability to install Visual Studio 2005 and 2008 side by side. So that's extremely important because we can't move our whole infrastructure to 2008 in one big swoop, right? We have tons of employees. So the fact that we can install both on the same machine is very important. And the other feature is multi-targeting, so framework multi-targeting. So we can actually use the latest Studio 2008, but actually target 2.0 framework, right? So people are happy, they get all the new tooling, but they can use the old tooling, the old framework, so our customers, you know, that are stuck on the old framework, they can still develop with that. Mm-hmm. On the server side, we get a brand new integrated build server. That's actually a real, real important thing, and we'll discuss that later. We get a lot of performance improvement for source control as well as work time tracking. And we get new deployment option, which are not non-neglectable, I guess. The install kit is way easier to use, and we can actually move some server aspect of Team Foundation over to another machine, namely SQL Server Analytical Services and SharePoint Services over to a farm, right, a corporate farm.
Right.
So for all of these things, I think that all of these new features will help us drive the business forward, help our developer delivered the best solution possible for our customers. And that's where we're actually upgrading from 2005 to 2008 range.
Following the panel discussion, I managed to snag some one-on-one time with two of the panel members, plus a director from AMD. Soren Menta here provides his thoughts on BMO's migration to Windows Server 2008 and what features and benefits they are experiencing the most.
The platform is definitely much more easier to use, and for anybody that has been involved with Microsoft server platform technology, I don't think this will pose a challenge. The challenge is how excited you're going to be about all the features and what you actually is planning, what actually you're going to go after first, what will bring the most value faster to the business, because there's a lot of features, there's a lot of improvements in the platforms. The platform is very stable, so I can only recommend, go ahead and do it.
Out of all the features and the benefits of the platform, what do you feel is given the most benefit to BMO?
Oh, God, there are a few. My personal favorite, it's actually not necessarily a feature or a role that's an addition. It's an improvement that is done in the way the network stack works, because all the operating system used to have a single thread of processing the TCP/IP protocol, and now it's multi-threaded and with multi-core machines. That is bringing a significant improvement into the data flow, and that affects a lot of aspects of the platform. It affects file services, it affects backup, it affects the overall performance, and it's something that really put a smile on my face when I've seen it. I've noticed it between RC1 and RTM, and I had to do an image copying of a box, which is about 5 gig in size, and it was done in about a minute or so. It was mind-blowing. So that is what I really loved.
Next, I chatted with Barry Crum, the director of Microsoft Alliance at AMD, about the feasibility of getting hardware to run on Windows Server 2008, Visual Studio 2008, and SQL Server 2008.
For the most part, as long as people are using solutions that are dual core or better and have 64-bit capability, they can run most of the software today. However, systems that have virtualization hardware acceleration, primarily for memory access, technology we call AMDV is available from our competitor as well. That memory access can really slow down a system running a hypervisor if you don't have hardware acceleration. And so those have been available in the market for 2 years now, so there's an extensive amount of install base of systems out there with hardware acceleration for that, what we call memory assist.
Okay.
So as long as people are using things that are in 2 years or sooner, they should be fine with everything they're doing here.
So you've been working on this even though the technology wasn't available, the software wasn't available. Well, you've been working with Microsoft for a number of years to make sure that it's available long before the software needs it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I have a small engineering team that's based on campus with Microsoft, and we sit in the virtualization organization. We've had prototype versions of our accelerated hardware virtualization products for a number of years now, and have been working with pre-release versions of Microsoft solutions. So I actually have people who have used Hyper-V for over 2 years now in a laboratory environment, getting ready for this day.
Yeah.
And it's important these two things are developed together. We don't just want to arrive in time to market and say we're compatible. We really have to be fully fleshing out and fully utilizing what each other can do. And so, yeah, it's a multi-year process, and it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
There are things we're doing in the future that already run but won't be released for another year or 2 or 3 years.
That's fantastic. And tell me a bit about SQL Server as well. What kind of hardware do you need for SQL Server?
Well, I think actually the evolution of the database is really a fun one to watch. And people have thought of a database as an application or a piece of middleware that you install and run. And nowadays, the way databases are integrated into web applications and they're accessed by a number of users, scaling up in a database is really important. So we like to talk to customers about making sure that the initial database installation is sized on a system that's got enough headroom to go where the database needs to go in the future.
Yeah, if you size it for what you have today, you won't be using it very long.
That's right. You'll be running out of room. And I think, you know, today the fact that lots of people interact with databases more than in the past. It's not just a batch processing backroom sort of job anymore. Very often you'll go to a simple website, click the mouse, and you're accessing a database in real time.
So it would be safe to say then that AMD enables the technology which enables the IT professional to do more than just break and fix and just manage their day-to-day systems. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I'd say it's a fair statement. I think you need to think about the fact that the software stack and the hardware are really working together, and when either one fails, it's still a failure. You know, you get pages in the middle of the night when something's broken. It doesn't really matter what it is.
Yep.
Broke is broke. And we like to deliver enough performance and capacity and balance in the systems so that the software can really shine. Another way of saying this, by the way, is to step back into the background. You know, good hardware that runs fast and is transparent really is not noticed.
Yeah.
And that's the best place for it. We all know the software is what really delivers the value to users.
And last but not least, Etienne Tremblay speaks with me about EDS's upgrade to Visual Studio 2008.
What's actually interesting is because we've standardized on TFS across the world in our .NET Center of Expertise, we can essentially take some people from all over the world to work on a project. So kind of create virtual teams with people from, New Zealand and Egypt and India all working on the same project. So that's actually really good. Yeah, and the platform lets us do that. Also, we can pass maintenance of projects from one center to another because it's standard, same tooling. You just move the project over, and then it can be managed at another location. And we can also do follow-the-sun development, like nice marketing thing there, where you know you can move from center to center. In the U.S., they develop. In Egypt, they would do the testing, and then the next day we can just look at the testing result because it's already been done, and you know you accelerate your developing that way, right?
And do you have any pointers for an IT manager, an IT team that is looking to roll out 2008?
It's been refreshingly easy for me. I've done 4 upgrades right now, and most of the upgrades went super well. Essentially, you know, at the high level, you uninstall 05 and you reinstall 08, and you know, it works. You know, so I haven't had a lot of issues there.
That concludes this episode of the IT Manager Podcast. We hope what you've heard today inspires you to look at how the next wave of server innovation can help simplify IT for your business. Let us know what you thought of this episode by posting a comment at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast, where you'll also find supplementary resources and other podcast episodes, as well as the full versions of these interviews in video format. Join us again next month, where we will dispel common software management myths. Thanks for listening.